I know that you've been living, I'm not going to ask your age, but you've been living for a while, so to share your story in 10 minutes is something. But I want you to please, Kate, just start sharing your story of where was God in your story of identity and culture and race and power, and what has God done and what has God revealed to you?
Thanks, Ross. I have lived a while, not as long as some people, but a while. It's lovely to be here tonight. I'm Kate. I was born, Chietzma is my maiden name, which is ironic because I'm not Afrikaans. And it was very difficult to start saying my surname when I learned what my surname was as a child. I was born into an English family. My dad would say he's a typical South African, which basically means he's a blend. And my mother is British, UK British, from actually born there and came over. So I grew up in the Lowveld, which is all the way in Limpopo province, a beautiful part of the world, on a farm. My father is a farmer and a vet, and amazing man that just instilled in us a love and respect for other people. So I'm by nature empathetic and sort of took that on as heritage. And so we were in a community that was mostly Afrikaans, and then we obviously had people that worked on the farm for us that were Sotho speaking, somebody helping in the house that was also a black lady who was Sotho speaking. And with that, I noticed that the only English people in the town were the people that attended our church. So we were quite a small fishbowl of people, but we were friends because inevitably we shared the same language and similar upbringings. And then it came to high school, and in our town, you could either go to the Lani English private high school, or you could go to the school that I went to, which was a dual medium high school, so we spoke English and Afrikaans. And because we lived on the farm, Ross, I had to go to hostel. And in hostel, I quickly learned that I need to become Afrikaans. Because one of my roommates was crying, you know, you're a skivvy the first year, and in your grade 8 year, and you don't get to choose who you end up in a room with, you just get put in your rooms. And my roommate, the one night, came home and she was crying and she was so upset and she said, "Ons het uitgemaak." And I was like, "Uitgemaak, made out, that's a good thing, that's kissing, right?" So it doesn't mean that they're kissing, it means that they broke up. So I had to become Afrikaans. I had to learn this language, and I had to figure out how these people worked, and I had to become Afrikaans. So I did. I put my task to it, and I was Afrikaans. And by the time I finished high school, I was able to run all of our prefect meetings in Afrikaans, take all of my notes, and I was properly well on my way to Afrikaans. And I didn't realize at the time that I'd started to reject my English culture, and I started to look down on what I had and who I actually was born to be and who God created me to be, who I was at my base. Because if we believe that God, that we're made in his likeness, then that means that that part of me that he made is part of him. And after school, I decided, oh, I love the Lord so much, and he's done so much for me because I got saved in grade 11, that I wanted to give back. I had this empathetic heart. I had this heart that loved people. So I told my parents I was going to do YWAM. YWAM is Youth with a Mission, and the whole idea is that you go to serve the nations. So I was taken out of the Lowveld. I went down to Jeffreys Bay, and that was the first time that I'd actually been in a colored community. And I loved it. It was like the people were speaking Afrikaans, and I knew it, but I couldn't understand what they were saying. I was enthralled. And then we, you know, we'd go onto the base and we'd sit and there'd be Germans in our team and Australians and South Koreans and South Africans and Nigerians and Canadians. And it was just all of these nations together in like this really intimate time and space. And I started to notice that although we were different people, we also represented different cultures, and God had placed beautiful things in the different cultures. And that was really significant and meaningful for me to see that. And I couldn't see what God had placed in my own culture at that stage. And I must say, it reminded me quite a lot of that scripture that Ross had on the last slide, and I'm just going to read it for you. It's in Revelation 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm trees in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And it was so beautiful for me to see just how all of these different cultures represented the bride of Christ. And it was in that place and in that time that I decided, I have this heart, I have this passion, I'm going to go and serve our nation. And I became an occupational therapist. I studied, and in my studies, it was so invigorating to be able to live out this calling, this mandate that I had to practically help people change their lives. We were, occupational therapists, we look at pathology, disability, and we help people live optimally. So you're very much focused on bridging that gap. And it was exactly all that I had been up until this stage. And while we were studying, I signed up to go on a missions trip to East London, and there was this guy on the missions trip who was so interesting. And our first conversation was that we both loved Jesus, we both wanted to devote our lives to missions, and we wanted four kids. We stopped at three. We have three children. But we got married very soon after that, and really just started building lives together and figuring out how what God has put together in us is going to move forward. And Kieran will share a little bit later his story. And we transitioned from studying over to working. And in that transition, I clearly remember I was doing the same action. I was serving, I was helping people, I was helping them figure out problems and bringing solutions. But suddenly there was a monetary value because I was offering a service as a healthcare provider. And suddenly my eyes opened to a whole nother, I think Rossi used such a lovely word earlier, about power. That socioeconomic injustice and massive difference that there was. And I found myself very quickly drowning and struggling to reconcile that in my mind. Why did God make me privileged and in this position where I could study, I could do what I wanted, I had resources, and so many people just didn't. And it really irked me, and our lives carried on, had children, and fast forward 7 to 10 years, and I was still very much embracing the Afrikaans culture, so we came to Durbanville, where we speak Afrikaans, and I noticed that my first reaction when I met somebody walking in the mall was I would say, "Hallo, gaan dit?" I would never greet people in English. In fact, I'd be a bit embarrassed if people found out I was English. And I remember going with three of my best friends. It was just before my son was born. And the three of us got together, and we'd known each other for 20 plus years, all English, came from that little fishbowl church in Zanin. And the two of them looked at me and said, "Kate, you haven't got an English accent anymore. You're the most Afrikaans out of all of us." And it was like an insult, but at the same time, it was who I was striving to be. And I felt so confused. I know I am, but who am I? Oh, it's a bit awkward. So I just, these conversations, we just brush it to the side because there's a more urgent matter at hand, and we just kind of carry on with what we're going with. But when you actually start looking at all the layers underneath, then the Lord reminds you of these things. And now we're back here in Durbanville, carrying on with our lives. And I'm not really one to go onto social media very much. I'm not a social media consumer. But somehow, just by engaging, and in lockdown, I think a lot of our lives moved much more towards that. I noticed the enemy had expertly started laying down lies that I just, in moments of vulnerability or not being completely aware, my heart wasn't completely guarded, and I'd accepted those lies as truth. And when the whole thing of with that ideology of Black Lives Matter, when that was pushed, I accepted that lie completely. And I actually agreed with it because I felt privileged. I felt all of that injustice that I'd seen over the years just with the poverty. I couldn't reconcile that. So I said, yeah, I am guilty. Oh, my word, I should go away. And the enemy just had me captive. And I couldn't engage with other people. I couldn't explain to my children basic differences, basic beautiful things that I'd previously learned and previously held so dear. And when we did this lenses course, and we actually took the time to look at our cultural stories and our heritage and where God has taken us from, the Holy Spirit showed me that I'd felt ashamed. I'd felt ashamed to be a white person, a white woman, and an English-speaking person. And that's who God has made me to be. He could have placed me in any family, anywhere in the world, but God chose me to be here. And through forgiveness and forgiving myself and asking the Lord to forgive me, Jesus has really given me again just that confidence, I think, and that certainty that what he's placed in me is valuable. Because like I said earlier, if we believe we're all made in his likeness, then surely I'm made in his likeness too. Surely the white English woman from Limpopo, Kate Gietsma, who is now Stevens, thank you, Lord. Surely, got an upgrade on my surname. Surely she's made in his image too. And it's such a privilege to be able to actually experience that, Ross, and to fully appreciate what the Lord has placed in our culture as well. Because even coming together with my husband, his family is very different to mine. And there was a lot of friction between our two families when we came together, because his family's idea of who he should marry was not me. So that was a very hard time as well. And just sort of over the years, allowing the Lord to give me value again and to see that what I have and the position and the place that I operate from was chosen and given by him. He's sovereign over that. So I think that's where I can share until now. Thank you, Ross.
Well done.